Hi, everyone. Well, I am speaking to you living in that verse from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace will be sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Friends, the promise in that scripture is actually true. The word of God does not lie. His grace really has been sufficient for us as a family as we have been walking through this latest trial. Just as God's grace has indeed been sufficient for us through previous trials that we have walked through before, we have as a family deep reservoirs to draw from. We are bruised, but we are not broken. We are disappointed, but we are not destroyed. Or as another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. You know, when you live through days that you never wanted to live through, you always discover that God is there. And that his grace really is sufficient. Even if other people looking in can't quite comprehend that, that's because their grace is sufficient for their circumstances, not yours. And so I want to pray for you right at the start of this talk that today you would know his grace being fully and totally sufficient for you. Whether that be you're going through a trial of physical health right now, or maybe it's mental health, or it might be to do with your kids or your parents, I want to release the supernatural grace of God to be sufficient for you today, right now. You know, it's in our weakness and vulnerability that we throw ourselves onto God in a childlike posture of dependency and trust, and that ends up being the very best posture that we can actually live this life. As a child to a Father God, saying, you've got this. You're so much bigger than I am. And God, I deeply trust in you. And that kind of posture is, of course, the one in which the most effective kind of prayers are prayed. Because prayer is essentially an act of humility. It's saying to God, God, we can't do this. And we need your help. And, you know, as a whole network, we have been in that posture of prayer for 40 days. I think this is the first annual leaders conference that has been preceded by a 40-day lead-up of prayer. Pioneer churches praying for other pioneer churches and praying for us as a whole network. That has not happened before. And my friends, that is significant. There have been many prophetic words and pictures sent across the network from one church to another, bringing words of strength and of life and of hope and comfort and encouragement. And there's also been some significant prophetic words that have been spoken over us as a whole network, some of which I will be referring to. God is speaking, and I find that so hugely reassuring. He is more committed to the kingdom cause than even we are. He is more committed to speaking and to guiding us into the future shape of church than even we are of listening to his direction. He is more committed to seeking and saving the lost and rewriting the stories of our villages, towns, and our cities than even we are. Friends, he is on the throne. He is speaking. He's got this. He's in charge. He knows what he is doing. You know, I'm so encouraged that even though our church buildings have been closed for much of the time, most of our activities and our programs have ceased. Do you know that 3.5 million people in the UK are reported to have started praying since this pandemic started? And there have been over 5,000 online Alpha courses, some of which I know have been run by pioneer churches. We might be locked down, but the Spirit of God is not locked down. The Spirit of God is absolutely free. And he's been moving freely, doing what he always does, which is drawing people to Jesus. So there is a spiritual hunger emerging. Some might say there's the stirrings of an awakening for those who have eyes to see it. And what does that mean for us as pioneer? How do we come out of lockdown? What is the future for Pioneer that we can bring into the present? We know, don't we, that COVID has accelerated trends. That's one of the distinctives of this season, that what would have taken 12 years has now taken 12 months. There is new wine, I believe, to go into new wineskins. As our Bible reading delightfully showed us, you don't put new wine into cracked bottles, you put new wine into new wineskins. And so, friends, we honour the past of Pioneer, but we step boldly into the future of Pioneer, some of which is raising up age-old foundations, because our DNA is always woven into our future story, but some of which is new for a post-COVID era. So what do I see that was part of the future that has been brought with great speed into the here and the now, much closer to the present? What is the future now? Well, I believe this. Number one, there is now new opportunity to be right at the heart of rebuilding society. You know, loving and serving people is not what we do, it's who we are. Here's one of the prophetic words that was released over the 40 days of prayer for Pioneer. Pioneer will be more involved in social justice projects and setting up things like food banks. We will be centres for people to come to be helped financially, physically and emotionally. Centres that are at the heart of community, standing up for people who have been left behind. You know, the reality is, as the threat of the virus retreats, there will be the following waves of huge need that will emerge: financial hardship, unemployment, food poverty, and a mental health crisis. One article I read recently challenged Christians around the area of job creation, stating that a key part of the church's mission going forward into the post-COVID era will be the championing of entrepreneurs and job creators. We have the inspiration of the great social reformers of the 19th century like Shaftesbury, Wilberforce, Butler, Cadbury, Quaker, Wedgwood, William and Catherine Booth, who, motivated by their faith, understood the dignity of work and the part that job creation has in social renewal. And so I want to encourage you, pioneer churches, use this time to get trained up, to become really good at what you are called to do. It has been said that good things happen when preparation and opportunity meet. We are about to have an opportunity like no other, and we best get prepared. This is a time to get off Netflix and get onto the many fantastic training courses with things like CAP or Kintsugi Wellbeing Groups. We actually had, as part of the seminar program, CAP and Kintsugi, and also Love Your Neighbor. And you know, that wasn't just to fill gaps in a seminar program over the leaders' conference. That was absolutely intentional. They were there in our program because this is a time like no other to accelerate the part that our churches play in rebuilding a bruised and battered society. You know, the government sat up and noticed the fact, noticed the data that came in, that over 1 million Christmas boxes and hampers went to the most vulnerable in society, delivered by who? By the church. Because the church is so well placed with so many high quality volunteers to meet the needs of the most vulnerable in our villages, our towns, and our cities. And you know, this is where perhaps as pioneer, our history echoes into our present and our future. Patrick Dixon spoke at the conference on Friday night and reminded us that ASSET came out of Pioneer many years ago. ASSET stands for AIDS, Care, Education and Training. Back in the 90s, ASSET trained up schools workers and became the largest independent provider of home care for those dying of AIDS. And who were the majority of volunteers? The church. I remember being trained up by ASSET as a schools worker, because remember, Pioneer, loving and serving people, it's not what we do, it is who we are. So this is a time for preparation, being right at the heart of rebuilding our societies with compassion and with competence and with capacity. Good things happen when preparation and opportunity meet. So that's number one, new opportunities right here, right now in the present. Number two, there is now new reach because the church hasn't just entered the digital space. I believe the church has smashed the digital space. 24% of the UK population have accessed online church since this crisis began. The walls and the doors of the church have come off and people can access church 24/7. You know, the numbers who watch us afterwards are way more than those who watch us live on any given Sunday morning, multiple times more. There was a poll that was put up on the Friday night of the leaders' conference and it asked this question: have you seen more people engaging with church since you moved online? 17% said we have doubled. 59% said yes, we have increased by a decent amount. Friends, that's 76% of pioneer churches have grown in the last 12 months. Imagine if this time last year at the leaders' conference, I'd have just said this throwaway comment. Oh, by the way, guys, if, you know, after 35 years of being a movement, there's just one thing that we all do together, it will mean that 76% of our churches will grow in the next 12 months. We just need to close the doors of our buildings and get online. I don't know what people would have said, but God is at work. Now, I do know that this is not the experience for some sections of the church, and we need to be sensitive to that. This has, I believe, accelerated the death of cultural Christianity. But there is a refining and there is a purifying and there is a pruning of God's church to get us ready for what he wants to do. And for us as pioneer, a spirit-led and apostolic prophetic movement, there is now new reach. I do believe there are now secret members of all our churches, some of whom might be watching right now. We will soon be meeting people as we begin to regroup again. People who have been tracking with us for ages, and they already will feel part of us. A few months ago, I came out of Tesco's and a woman came out of Tesco's at the same time and she was really chatty with me. We had a great conversation about how our families were coping with lockdown. And then as she turned to go down the road where she lived, she suddenly leant in and, like, she'd kind of lowered her voice, almost like looked around and went, "By the way, I'm a secret member of your church." It was just so funny. It was brilliant. And then even at a local park where I was walking our dog a few weeks ago, There was another woman who was walking her dog, and she saw me. She started to wave enthusiastically. And she was like, Ness, I'm watching you on YouTube every week. And I remembered her from someone who had done Alpha about a year ago. Practically, my friends, we need to make it really easy for our secret members to find us. Now's the time to start putting on our websites and our online gatherings maps and directions for where we will be gathering and regrouping in the coming months. So we need to brief our welcome teams, you know, not to treat people like first-time visitors, because for many people, they'll feel like they are already part of us. Then there'll be others still for whom online might become their main expression of church. We need people who are called to lead online congregations. That's hybrid church, both in person and online. 12 months ago, I'd never heard the term hybrid church. I don't know if you had done. But online is now here to stay. There's new reach for the gospel. You know, online church allows church to be more accessible to those who, for all kinds of different reasons, can't attend in person. For some, Zoom small groups is going to actually continue to work for them. For others, Zoom training makes training much more accessible. And you know, for those few churches in the UK who had been streaming out their gatherings online, they found that 80% of newcomers to their gatherings had first watched them online for a few months before they came in person. We need to stay in the digital space. Part of our offering this morning will be going as grants to churches in the UK who need help to become hybrid ready, who need help for maybe updating their websites, because our websites are now our front doors, and maybe grants to help to buy easy to use cameras. So there is new opportunity, there is new reach, and I think there's new models of church that are coming. The closing of church buildings and venues and the stopping of programs and events, you know, really did make us assess how we genuinely were outworking the mission of God. Have we been creating consumers of a product or contributors to a cause? Alan Hirsch says, our design creates our outcomes. If our outcomes have been that we've been creating consumers or cultural Christians, then it shows something is wrong with the design. I do believe the metrics are going to move. We're going to be moving from counting addition, just, you know, who's turning up, to multiplication. Multiplication of expressions, multiplication of leaders, multiplication of disciples. We want to be movements of disciples who are making disciples who are making disciples. You know, it's actually really struck me that at times we have been more bothered about missing a worship event than about the fact we haven't fulfilled the basic command of Christ, which is to make disciples. That bothers me. I do believe that Sundays will change focus and be much more intentional about we gather to scatter, we gather to equip, we gather to send. The new models of church to carry the new wine will be a mixed economy. There'll be both attractional, you know, the sort of the come and see, but also much more the incarnational, the go, the show, the plant, the send. Much more focus on pioneering and planting into unreached neighbourhoods and networks. Much more focus on making disciples. I wonder if we'll see things like discovery Bible studies as part of the next season. Simply reading the Bible with someone who's spiritually interested and asking easy, reproducible questions that they can then pass on to somebody who they are exploring and discipling. Questions like, what does this passage show me about God? What does this passage show me about me? And what must I do in the light of it? Much more simple, reproducible ways of leading people to Jesus and discipling them in the ways of God. There is a window of opportunity here not to miss. This is the time as we re-emerge, as we regroup, to experiment, to take new risks, to be creative, to reach more people, groups and places. This is the time for church to be shaped around the outward focus callings of the people of God that are in it. This is a time for empowerment. This is a time for mobilizing. This is a time for trusting the call of God that he's put into people's lives. This is a time to train more planters and more pioneers. If I said to you that 20% of any congregation has got within them the ability with support and with training to plant and to pioneer, who would be in that 20%? If you would be in that 20%, why didn't you get on Pioneer Pathway? That's going to be talked about in just a bit. You know, dreams are going to be ignited, vision is going to be cast, and space is going to be created for people to be able to step up and take responsibility for a people group or a place, a network or a neighborhood that God has called them to root into. We've heard about rooting into our localities. That's going to be happening so much more. Now, we know planting is not right for everyone because of perhaps capacity or calling or life stage, but there are far more missional leaders amongst us than are currently being released. We are going to see a new wave of planting as the future of pioneer. Another prophetic word from the 40 days of prayer said this: I had a picture of a snowdrop. On seeking God further, I sense God saying that as a snowdrop lays dormant in the ground for a year, gaining strength for its new season, we should not be concerned if little seems to be happening because God is in control. Then when its season comes, the snowdrop pushes through the ground, often multiplying and forming into beautiful flowers. God is strengthening his church at this time. And there was great emphasis on the multiplying. So new opportunities, new reach, new models, and I also think there's going to be new movement. One of the prophetic words for pioneer again said this: be ready for geographical movement. Some of my churches are packed with a wealth of leaders, some not being given opportunity to fully come into all that they need to be, whereas others are struggling for help and for support. It's time to send people out, to approach people to move, to plant, to grow, and to nurture. You know, there hasn't historically been much of that movement across the network, but in this new era, I see that there will be more of that. I believe we will have churches sending out a Macedonian call, come and help us. And there will be others across the network who will know the nudge of the Holy Spirit to respond to that call. There may even be those for whom God almost seconds for a year or 2 years to another church in the network to help them move to the next stage. I know our latest church plant in Whitley Bay is asking God for people to know his call to move there and help move them from the church planting phase into the established church phase. There's going to be a new movement across the network, a release of our time, a release of our talents, and even a release of our finances to help and bless and strengthen and support each other. And new connections. Many churches have talked about new levels of closeness and connection within the church family. As people have come together in a time of crisis, that will not leave us. That sense of being far more glued together as a family, that is going to be part of our future. And loads of us have experienced new connections locally. Joe and Lou talked so eloquently about that yesterday. We are far more rooted into our localities than ever before. Neighbours have become friends. I've been really struck just even in these last few days how our local neighbours have really stepped up to support us. And that's because of what's happened over the last 12 months. You know, a genuine spiritual awakening across our lands needs a relational net for the wildfire of the gospel to spread. Awakenings need potency and proximity. God has accelerated the relational proximity across our networks. Please do keep investing in that. Don't take your foot off the gas on that. It's like we're building kindling ready for a match to strike. If, for example, you put flowers on your neighbour's doorsteps last Mother's Day, do it again this Mother's Day. And then there's been new connections made and strengthened with our local authorities. God is so in that. The church has played such a pivotal role in this season, and that is going to continue. And then new priorities. One clear area that God has shaken and moved his church forward in is in racial justice. Since the murder of George Floyd, there has been so much more listening to hidden pain, more commitment to relational connection across culture and ethnicity, creating greater room and space at the table for everyone's contributions. I was listening to Israel Olafinjana, the new director of the One People's Commission, and he was saying that he thinks we've reached a place in church history that is another Cornelius moment. And I believe he's right. We will be moving from where perhaps we are now, having great relationship between some of the white majority churches in a town or city and some of the black and ethnic minority majority churches in a town or city, to increasingly having great relationships within the same church communities, learning what it means to be intercultural, with all the joys in that and some inevitable cost to laying down our own preferences. We're moving from simply a commitment to diversity to a commitment to cultural intelligence. And then one last shift is having a more intentional legacy mindset. This was a prophetic word around Pioneer Rise. Pioneer Rise, those of you who are teens, 20s, 30s, you are to see the chains broken. You are to see the prisoners released. To the young, you are to literally rise up and be free from anything that has held you down before. There's going to be a freedom for new ideas, a freedom for new dreams, a freedom to step up and take your place. There was even a blessing for Joe and Lou as they encourage and nurture the Pioneer Rise generation. You know, the reality is this, all of us in leadership, we are all interim leaders. This will never last. The season that we are in means that we need to be looking around for the provision of God, and we're going to see it in the younger leaders around us. We need to create space. There is an intentional reason why it's Joe and Lou, who represent the Pioneer Rise generation, who are leading this session, Future Now. Their generation are the future, and we need them now. Hope is the ability to hear the music of the future, and faith is the courage to dance to it today. So there's new opportunity, there's new reach, there's new models, new movement, new connections, and new priorities. Let me finish by reading out that verse that we started with. No one cuts up a fine silk scarf to patch old work clothes. You want fabrics that match, and you don't put your wine into cracked bottles. Or as the NIV says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Let's pray. Father God, we want to come before you now and, Lord, recognize the part that Pioneer has to play with new opportunities and new reach and new models, new priorities, new connections, that God, that you've done all these things, that we simply are your servants. We are a small cog in a big wheel, but, oh God, we want to play our part with humble confidence to step up and to pioneer. Amen. We've now got a spoken word that's going to help us to respond.
So where do we go from here? We've closed our buildings, cancelled meetings, dispersed our gatherings, church family scattering. We are a nation at a crossroads. We've known anger, frustration, and lost hope. We are groaning, we are grieved, we are burdened, battle-weary, and bereaved. We've been rocked and left reeling, not even sure how we're feeling, a long, steep road away from healing, yet now taunted by the foretaste of freedom. It sits on the tip of our tongue and the edge of our lips, merely a whisper lest it should slip through our fingertips, and it begs the question, where do we go from here? Where now? Where to, church? Do we cower in the corner like war widows, hiding away in the shadows, walking on tiptoes? Do we crawl back into our comfort hole, lower the bar, widen the goal, trusting only in what we know and seating security on the throne? Is this our mission now? Or do we, some way, somehow, resist the reassurance of retreat? Do we drag ourselves back to our feet and get ready to march to his heartbeat? Are we willing to discard the familiar, to reject the convenient, to bind ourselves in relentless obedience to the one who is always doing a new thing, ever creating? Do we yet dare to partner with him, to voyage on waters let uncharted, to pick up the mantle of martyrs and play our part in the commission they started? Do we dare to pioneer again?